Now, you know, last week I talked a little bit about, I think it was last week, you know, my favorite illustration of you're in the grocery store and you've got your bottle of beer there that you're buying and you feel a little bit, you know, okay with it, a little bit guilty about it, but then the church folks show up on aisle 7. And so that's when you go to buy in like new bath mats and towels. You're interested in all kinds of robes and extra clothing you don't really need, and you're piling that onto your cart to kind of create a tent. That's one of my favorite examples because we can go crazy with this thing of people-pleasing, looking over our shoulder, trying to live for what other people are going to say or what are they going to think. So let's slow down just a little bit and see what this verse is actually saying. What this verse is saying is that the guy that you're freaked out about in the grocery store, he's got weak faith. You're the one with the strong faith if you realize your liberty in Christ. Who has the strong faith? The one that knows that the kingdom of God is not about eating and drinking. It's about righteousness and peace. Well, who's the one with the weak faith? The guy that's flipping out about a liquid that Jesus drank. In moderation. Don't be drunk with wine. Oh, I've heard it all, and you have too. Oh, it was just grape juice. Oh, so Paul meant don't be drunk with grape juice. I guess they let it sit a really long time. So who's got the weak faith? Except the one who is weak in faith, but not for the purpose of passing judgments on his opinions. So there's a big difference between me going up and down the aisle saying, "You don't drink? Oh, you're weak." That's not love. There's a big difference between doing that and then just over here saying, "Oh my gosh, I better not take a sip. Maybe somebody in the restaurant, oh yeah, 782 feet away, there's someone from a church." And so there's a world of difference between these two extremes, judging someone and walking around on your tippy toes throughout life. There's a place, a third place called love. And it's not black and white, guys. There are no rules here. It's about the heart and whether you're going to love the guy that's in front of you that you're spending time with. So accept the one who is weak in faith, but not for the purpose of passing judgments on his opinions. Because that's all they are. You've got your opinion, I've got my opinion. Let's not argue about liquids and food. One person has faith that he may eat all things, but my goodness, the other one's a vegetarian. Yeah, I know. It's strange, isn't it? But in context, there were people, Christian people, that thought, you know, it's sin if I eat meat. So this is what they're wrestling with. In context, it's not about alcohol in the grocery store. Alcohol was a no-brainer for these guys. I mean, they had alcohol at lunch and dinner. It was a pretty regular thing. At weddings, too. Yeah, maybe they would even in Texas. Jesus showed up and made more for them, and it was the best they'd ever had. So wine, alcohol, that's not what's in focus here. And please, let me stop and do a side note over here before you misunderstand me. If this is your first trip to Ecclesia, I'm not preaching for alcohol use. I'm not preaching in favor of you going out and drinking alcohol. Again, that's your opinion. And you may have a history. Your family may have a history. There may be addiction issues, abuse issues, all kinds of things. Be careful. I think, as I said last week, it can be dangerous. Now, back to the story. Vegetarianism. That's what's in focus. So he's saying, you know, this guy over here eats meat, doesn't think twice about it. This guy over here, he's eating grass and leaves and carrots and lettuce, and he's done. Now, some people choose that for dietary reasons, for health reasons. This is not that. This is for religious reasons. But even so, Paul says, be sensitive. But why is this so hard for us? Whether it's the drinking or the vegetables only, or the dancing or the gambling or the this or that, why is this so hard for us? Because what happens is we get around somebody, we start thinking, gosh, they're so legalistic, they're cramping my style. And then we start thinking, they make me feel guilty, so I'm going to condemn them for their crazy opinions. You see, so guilt comes in, some sort of sense of they're cramping my style and ruining my fun and making me feel guilty, so I'm going to show them they're wrong and declare my freedom. And so sometimes all of that can be incited from a sense of guilt. Now, try this on for size. When you know what you know, it doesn't matter whether one person or a million people agree with you. When you know what you know, you can live in the truth and live in freedom, and it's not about convincing other people, and their opinions don't have to squash your joy, and so you then don't have to retaliate with judgment of them that kills the relationship. Now again, I'm not saying you dance around and lie about your opinions and thoughts. I mean, your thoughts and convictions can be open and obvious. We want to speak the truth in love. But when we start laughing at people and saying, ha, 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 you just don't get it, well, then that's not really love. The one who eats is not to regard with contempt the one who does not eat. And the one who does not eat is certainly not to judge the one who eats, for God has accepted him. So you see the two different feelings. The guy over here that's saying, ha, 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 I'm really close to God because all I eat is lettuce. And then this guy over here, you know, is saying, he only eats lettuce, he just doesn't get it. So there's judgment one way and contempt the other way. Neither one of these attitudes is walking by God's Spirit. There's a third way. Who are you to judge the servant of another? To his own master he stands or falls. I love this part. And he will stand, for the Lord is able to make him stand. Now, the reason I love this part is because near the end of this chapter, when we get to it in just a little bit, you're going to see a verse that says, we must all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And here, just a few verses earlier, he's saying the Lord is able to make us stand. So some people think they're going to be standing there with the movie screen of all their sins, and they're going to just be quivering in their boots, right? Like I like to say, they're eating their popcorn, pretending like they're having a good time. Yeah, good movie. Wait till my blockbuster of sin shows up next. That's not the judgment. It's not what it looks like. Perfect love casts out fear. Fear involves punishment. There's no punishment. Jesus took it all. So you see what he's saying here. Don't go judging. Don't go having contempt. This guy over here, he belongs to the Lord. She belongs to the Lord. You belong to the Lord. You belong to the Lord. Your opinions are between you and the Lord. If it's about food and drink and festivals and days, as we're even going to see, one guy thinks Sunday is really special. Other guy over there, he says, well, every day is the Lord's day. Are you really going to go up to this woman in the front row who says today is the Lord's day and say, no, it's not. Every day is the Lord's day, and you're wrong for honoring this day. Now, it's a whole different ballgame if someone is pushing a Sabbath and pushing Judaism and pushing the law as the means to get right with God. Now, that's a salvation issue. But this person is setting aside Sunday for worship, and Sunday has become special in their heart. And I'm not going to kill their joy, but I do want them to know Christ lives in them every day and that this is not a church. They are the church. Who are you to judge a servant of another, whether he stands or falls? Well, that's up to the master, and he will stand. the Lord is able to make him stand. One person regards one day above another. Another regards every day alike. But each person must be fully convinced in his own mind. So it is healthy, guys, for us to say, now, why do I believe that? Where am I getting that from? Is that just something that I grew up with in Texas? Is that just an American Christian thing? Or is that actually in the Bible? Why do I believe what I believe? Now, that's healthy so that each of us can be fully convinced in our own minds. He who observes the day observes it for the Lord, and he who eats does so for the Lord, for he gives thanks to God. And he who eats not, well, for the Lord he does not eat and gives thanks to God. So you see the big picture here then. Whole lot of freedom, and in the midst of all that freedom, you've got people. People that you can't control. People whose opinions are not yours. So what are you going to do about that? And here's the answer. Assume that their motives are good until proven otherwise, blatantly and obviously. But assume that their motives are good, that they are giving thanks in their heart to the Lord, and let it be. Because they're not knocking on your door saying, oh, please, show me the light. I believe some of my opinions are wrong. Please, fix me. That's not what they're saying. They're saying, well, I give thanks to God for this and this, and I celebrate this because, you know, my heart leaps when I... And what are you going to do? Tell them their heart's not leaping? So, if they're giving thanks, assume the best and, you know, respect. For not one of us lives for himself, and not one dies for himself. Now, I love this verse because if you just take a minute to think about it, you know, we're always telling Christians, you got to live for God. You got to live for God. You better live for God. You need to live for God. And what this is saying is not one of us doesn't live for God. If we're in Christ, whether we live or whether we die, this is a nature verse. Everything we do with Christ living in us. So not one of us lives for himself. We all belong to the Lord. So you belong to the Lord in the arcade. Yeah, I mean, I don't go to a lot of arcades. Best example I could think of, arcade. You know, you're in the mall with your mall do, and you're playing at the arcade while you belong to the Lord. You're taking the kids to school. You drive a stick shift. Well, there you are, and you belong to the Lord. Yeah, even as you're maybe saying something back there at the kids that you regret later, the whole time you belong to the Lord. And then you're at work and your boss is barking at you and you belong to the Lord. And so whether you're in the arcade or in the car or at work, you belong to the Lord. So what I love about this verse is it's not a thou shalt do verse. It's a nature verse. You're always belonging to the Lord. For if we live, we live for the Lord. And if we die for the Lord. Therefore, whether we live or die, we are the Lord's. Isn't that cool? I want to be the Lord's. You are. I want to belong. You belong. I want Christ to live through me. It's not some neurotic mental exercise. Wake up and be yourself. You belong to the Lord. For to this end, Christ died and lived again, that he might be Lord both of the dead and of the living. But you, why do you judge your brother, or you again, why do you regard your brother with contempt? You see the two attitudes? The judgment and the contempt. The judgment is, you drink, you dance, you smoke. Side note, smoking is hazardous to your health. But the kingdom of God is not about a 3-inch... long rolled piece of paper with tobacco inside of it. It's also not if you take the tobacco out, kind of ball it up and shove it in your lip. The kingdom of God is not about these things, but my goodness, there are health issues. So the pastor gets up and he condemns the drinking and he condemns the smoking. Then he rolls into McDonald's drive-thru and orders a Big Mac. His congregation dies of lung cancer and he dies of a heart attack. Both not very wise choices made. Health issues, not righteousness issues. But here's this guy, and he's saying, you drink, and you smoke, and you eat meat. And then this guy over here is saying, what, you don't? Read Galatians, man. Get it, because you don't get it. Neither of these is love. For we will all stand before the judgment seat of God. Remember, who's going to make us stand? Not in a forceful way. See, the legalists get, oh yeah, he's going to make me stand. No, it means he's going to make you stand. He is enabling you to stand. For it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee will bow to me. So the moment you find yourself standing right in the presence of the glory of God, he's making you stand. He's enabling you to stand. But then what do you find your heart wanting to do? Oh, praise Jesus. Praise God, King of Kings, Lord of Lords. I have no response except that the gift you've given me is my righteousness. Every knee will bow and every tongue will give praise to God. So then each of us will give an account of himself to God. Is it about food and drink? It's not going to be about food and drink. It's going to be about, who do you believe my son is? The death, the burial, the resurrection, the life. When he stood at the door of your life and knocked, did you turn that doorknob and open the door and receive him? This is the account that we give to God. Not about what we've eaten or what we've been drinking, but what we did with the message of the gospel, what we did with God's Son. Therefore, let us not judge one another anymore. Now, I find that interesting. Think about this. He says, therefore. But he just finished talking about the judgment seat where we stand before God. And now he's saying, don't judge one another. So what he's saying here is, God's got it covered, and it was never about food and drink. But rather determine this, not to put an obstacle or a stumbling block in a brother's way. That's love. Now, again, I want you to think about this here. This does not mean that you walk through life making your choices and then looking behind you 100 yards to see if anybody is back there stumbling over anything. That would be people-pleasing. Rather than living for the Lord. That's not the point of this passage. The point is there are weak brothers and sisters who are caught up in stuff. Alcohol would be a good one. There are people that are struggling with alcohol. It is a stumbling block for them. They're addicted to it. They couldn't stop if they tried. It is their peace. It is their joy. They're not filled with God's Spirit, but instead they're looking to relaxation in a liquid as their source of comfort instead of the comforter. And so there I am at the table with them, and they're telling me, because remember now, I can only love people to the degree that I know them and know their struggle. So I've already heard, this guy's an alcoholic. He struggles daily with addiction to alcohol, and I've invited him out to a bar to show him what freedom in Christ really looks like. Yeah, so tell me about your problem, because I'm free in Christ. Well, I mean, that's what he's talking about here. Not tiptoeing through your entire life looking for anybody struggling with anything, but shoving grace in people's face to brag about your freedom and in the process, a total lack of love toward them. I know and am convinced in the Lord that nothing is unclean in itself. Wow. Now, Remember the context here. This doesn't mean that sin is okay, that open and obvious sin is okay. The context is food and drink, because the kingdom of God is not about what goes in. It's about what proceeds from the heart. But to him who thinks anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. So you see then, it's kind of like in Corinthians, the example there, you've got the two scenarios. You've got the guy who is, he's in the marketplace. And the way it worked was they had a pagan temple, and they would offer meat to idols there. And then after they were done killing the animal, burning the animal, offering this sacrifice to idols, they'd have a bunch of leftover meat. And they're certainly not going to toss it in the garbage. This is good meat. So what do? Well, they cut it up into nice fillets, and they take it over here to the temple grocery store in the center of town, in the marketplace. Meat sacrificed to idols. So here you are, a Christian. You've got your cart, your 2,000-year-old grocery cart, little stone wheels on it, like Flintstones. And you pull up, and you say, oh, meat sacrificed to idols. But I'm a Christian. I know there are no idols. There are no other gods. There's only one God. This doesn't bother my conscience in the least. This is pathetic. Idols? I know the guy who carved that idol. His name's Joe. He lives down the street from me. That idol's been around about 6 years since he carved it. So, meat sacrificed to idols, no problem to my conscience. I'll take two. Go home, cook them up, you and the wife, you're grilling out on Saturday, great. No problem. Totally different scenario now from Corinthians. You're invited to somebody's home, right? And you sit down to dinner and they say, now I know that you're a Christian. And by the way, the food that's sitting before you, it's meat sacrificed to idols. What do you think of that, Christian? And at that point, you got to decide. He's making a big deal out of this, not me. He's making a big deal out of it. Apparently, it's something to him. So what am I going to do for his conscience' sake, not for my conscience? Totally different scenarios. Freedom in one case, choose love in another. Not that the guy's loving you very much. He's kind of putting you on the spot, isn't he? But maybe you just, head on out and go through the drive-thru on the way home, pick up something nice. I'm convinced that nothing is unclean, but if he thinks it's unclean, then to him it's unclean. For if because of food your brother is hurt, you are no longer walking according to love, do not destroy with your food him for whom Christ died. Food or a friend? You see it? When food and friend are in conflict here, choose friend. You're free to choose food, but it's not love. So choose friend. Therefore, do not let what is for you a good thing be spoken of as evil. What? Who's on first? What? Hang on. Because I'm lost. Verse 15 was, don't hurt your brother with what you eat. Then verse 16 is, don't let anybody tell you it's evil when you know it's good. See the balance? Sensitivity to others, don't lose your freedom. Sensitivity to others, don't lose your freedom. Pretty cool. For the kingdom of God is not about eating and drinking, but it's about being righteous in Christ as a gift. It's about peace with God forever. It's about that joy that springs up when you're given thanks to God. For he who in this way serves Christ is acceptable to God and approved by men. In other words, I'm walking in righteousness. I know who I am in Christ. I'm walking in peace with God. I'm loving other people. I've got joy springing up in my heart. What's the worst they can say about me? That I'm eating some meat? Well, if I walk in this way, I'm acceptable to God in what I'm doing, and I'm approved by men. their arguments are just going to fall to pieces. So then we pursue the things which make for peace and the building up of one another. Do not tear down the work of God for the sake of food. All things indeed are clean, but they are evil for the man who eats and gives offense. It's about the offense, not the food. It's about the motive, not the substance. It is good not to eat meat or to drink wine or to do anything by which your brother stumbles. Now, how's your brother going to stumble? He's got to be there, he's got to see you, and he's got to be making a big deal out of this, and you've got to be hurting him in some way. The faith which you have as your own conviction before God. And here it is. He likes to finish with freedom. Finish with freedom. Happy is he who does not condemn himself in what he approves. But he who doubts is condemned if he eats, because his eating is not from faith, and whatever is not from faith is sin. So you see the freedom in this? Gosh, if you know the truth will set you free. If you've got people that are struggling and stumbling over food and drink, love them. Be patient with them. You don't have to live for them. You live for God. God's telling you it's not about food and drink, but don't hurt people over a drink. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you that there's so many gray areas. I mean, the drinking and the dancing and the food and all kinds of stuff. I mean, there's just so many things that we humans get offended at and start judging people about. Father, it's funny in one sense, and yet it's indicative of how quickly judgmental we can get. Thank you, Father, for this passage about the gray areas. What to do, how to conduct ourselves, how to live, why to live that way. Thank you for the freedom that we don't have to walk on eggshells, that we're not on thin ice with you, that you've told us clearly we can have a clean conscience, we can live from faith, we can enjoy our freedom, and we can use our sound mind and our wisdom when it comes to moderation. But we can also turn and love people when friends matter more than food. We thank you for the new heart. We thank you that you guide us through all these questions. In Jesus' name, amen. You think about why people go overboard with stuff, why we can't just enjoy in moderation, express our freedom in Christ, have some, enjoy it, walk away, not be controlled by something, addicted to something. It's because, you know, we're searching. We're searching for something to heal us, to relax us. And in the book of Ephesians, Paul says, don't be drunk with wine, but instead be filled with God's Spirit. And you say, what does filled with God's Spirit mean? All you have to do is back up in that letter and you find out, knowing the love of God is what it means to be filled to the measure of the fullness of God. So what if what we're really searching for is a deeper understanding of God's love? And what if that's what the guy who's weak in faith really needs from us? For us to receive that love, transmit that love, walk in that love, all the while the truth setting us free. Speak to others and speak truth, but speak truth in love. Have a great day.